You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Leaders of the Anglican Communion are winding up their meeting in Canterbury Cathedral on Friday after agreeing to a temporary suspension of the Episcopal Church in the United States for its position on same-sex marriage. At a press conference ahead of the official conclusion of the meeting on Saturday, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, reaffirmed the unanimous commitment of all the Anglican leaders to uphold the unity of the worldwide communion, which numbers around 85 million members in 165 countries. But in a communique, the primates note that recent developments in the Episcopal Church regarding the recognition of same-sex relationships represents a fundamental departure from the faith and teaching held by the majority of the provinces on the doctrine of marriage. The unilateral decision by the Americans, the communique continues, has created great pain and mistrust among the different parts of the communion. Therefore, the bishops have agreed that for a period of 3 years, the Episcopal Church should no longer represent the communion on ecumenical and interfaith bodies. While it continues to participate in the internal bodies of the communion, it will not take part in decision-making on issues of doctrine or polity. Paul Handley, editor of the Church of England weekly paper The Church Times, explains why this issue has become such a cause of conflict within the Anglican world.
Sexuality has been the trigger for a great deal of unhappiness. And what the African countries are saying in particular is that it's soured the relationship between their church and their community. And therefore, what the Americans are doing, or the Church of England might one day do, or any of the other provinces, would directly affect their mission and their standing in their own countries. Now, sexuality, of course, is one tiny part of what it is to be a human being and what it is to be a Christian. And so endlessly one hears people saying, well, can't we just set this to one side? What holds us together is much greater than this one issue that's forcing us apart. And of course, when you have a problem like that, it's like the stone in the shoe. You can't think of the rest of your body being perfectly at ease. The stone is what focuses your concentration all the time. And it exposes the problems, or other people would say the delights of the Anglican Communion, which is that it is not an authoritarian, hierarchical, structured arrangement. The Archbishop of Canterbury isn't a pope. He can't say, this is how it's going to be. And therefore, it's an opportunity for people to talk through, well, in our country, this is our understanding of this problem. These are the challenges that this issue sets. And to listen to how culture feeds into expressions of faith, which is, I mean, potentially a hugely exciting and creative part of Christianity.
The head of the Episcopal Church, Bishop Michael Curry, said the sanctions would be painful for many Americans whose move to be what he called a more inclusive church was based not on a social theory or capitulation to the ways of culture, but on the commitment to be a house of prayer where all are truly welcome. Here in Rome, the head of the Vatican's Council for Christian Unity, Cardinal Kurt Koch, said he was grateful the bishops have opted for temporary sanctions rather than any more permanent divisions which could hinder the search for reconciliation between the two churches.
First of all, this is an internal decision of the Anglican Church, and I'm grateful that we don't have a division, but we have a temporal exclusion. There's another thing, and I hope that the Anglican can, in this time, refine the better unity, because every division, every split are a very great difficulty. We are working for unity and not working for divisions. But I think we continue our dialogue, and we have the main issue also in this dialogue by Archit, the relation between the local church and the universal church. This is a concern also for the Anglican community. And the second question is how we can find a better unity in ethical questions. And in this sense, I hope that this dialogue can deepen these challenges that we have today in the Anglican community. But in this year, we have also a beautiful opportunity. There are 50 years that the first visit of an Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury have made a visit in Rome.
An official visit.
An official visit, yeah. Ramsey and the Blessed Paul VI. And then we have the creation and the institution of the Anglican Center. And I hope that it will be also a beautiful opportunity to deepen the relations between Anglicans and the Church of Rome.
Later this year, the Archbishop of Canterbury is expected to meet with Pope Francis to mark together this important anniversary. In the meantime, the Anglican leaders have asked Archbishop Welby to appoint a task force to continue this week's conversation, with the ambitious goal of restoring relationships and rebuilding trust between the still deeply divided parts of the global communion.